Listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
What's up, Broncos country? Happy Friday. Welcome back into a brand new episode of the show all across Broncos country. From the South Stands to the end zone, you are Locked On Broncos. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst and Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. You can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. You can follow the podcast at Lockdown Broncos. Make sure you're subscribed to Lockdown Broncos on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify every single day. On today's Friday episode of the podcast, we got a lot of news and Broncos bits to break down, and I'm joined today by Zach Seegers of Broncos Pro Football Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Zach_Seegers. Zach, how you doing on this beautiful Friday, my man? I mean, look, we are Deshaun Hamilton days away, 17 days away for those of you that don't know Deshaun Hamilton. You should know, but if you don't know, we're 17 days away from kickoff where the Broncos will host the Tennessee Titans Monday Night Football. We're getting closer. I'm very, very excited.
Me too, man. I'm excited. I've got another training camp visit going on today, so I'm excited to head there after this. And like you said, just 17 days away from kickoff and just, what, 14 days away or 13 days away from NFL kickoff, forget Broncos kickoff. So almost here, and I just can't wait for it.
Now, you mentioned you're going to training camp here today at the UCL Training Center in Inglewood, Colorado. But here's a question. There was no practice yesterday at the UCL Training Center. And I really think the message behind with the Broncos that I support 110%. I think it's a great ploy for the platform that is being used. Now, we don't know whether or not practice may or may not be canceled once again today. And I mean, we're just kind of sitting with our arms in the air, just waiting to see. So really just kind of give you some background for Broncos fans that maybe weren't paying attention yesterday. The Denver Broncos came out and they canceled practice in support of players protesting what's going on, police brutality, racial inequality, just really standing up against those things here. We saw the NBA cancel games. We talked about a little bit on yesterday's episode of the show, but here's what the Denver Broncos said as a team. The statement says, following a team meeting this morning to discuss the horrific events in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and the many social injustices around the country, the Denver Broncos have canceled all football activities today. As an organization, we are outraged and disgusted with the shooting of Jacob Blake. Our hearts go out to his family, his children, and the entire Kenosha community. While this tragedy took place in Melvin Gordon's hometown of Kenosha, this hits home for all of us. In the strongest terms, we condemn police brutality, excessive force, and these senseless acts of violence that have caused so much pain. It's time for accountability and real policy reform. The players are standing together as a team. More importantly, they are standing up for those who need them the most. We applaud the strength, unity, and leadership of the players. The Denver Broncos will fully and unconditionally support them. Today is about reflection and identifying ways to effect meaningful change. The strongest statement we can make is by taking action. It will take all of us. And Zach, that was a statement by the Broncos yesterday in support of what's going on. There were various other teams. I believe it was 8 other NFL teams, including the Broncos, that did do that. The Bears, obviously the Ravens and various other teams as well, did not practice yesterday in showing of support of what's been going on and really just against the fight for inequality. That's something I think that a lot of players have been very outspoken about. Todd Davis, Kareem Jackson, Justin Simmons. These players have represented the Broncos in a really, really positive way. And we talked about on yesterday's show, you know, I don't believe that the NFL is going to boycott any games. I don't think players are going to boycott games, but it's definitely something to monitor. You know, do you expect maybe any carryover into today's practice?
You know, I think it's definitely possible we could see some carryover into today's practice and even, you know, next week's practices. It's tough because you do have so few practices to get ready for the season. And I think all the players recognize that importance as well and want to get ready for it. That being said, I honestly think it's great what they're doing here. You know, not that that's much of a hot take, but I just think it's awesome. They're using the leverage they do have to start a conversation. And I've seen some people ask the question on social media, what does this accomplish? It's got everyone talking about it. You know, we're talking about it. We wouldn't be talking about the Jacob Blake shooting otherwise, not, you know, just because this is a sports podcast. And, you know, you're seeing it on ESPN, TNT with Kenny Smith walking off the set. you know, just all these different, and Chris Webber getting emotional in a really powerful speech, all these different NBCs having to talk about it because of it's happening with hockey now, and Fox Sports is having to talk about it. So I think it's great. It's players, you know, using their voice, using their platform to promote positive change. They're peacefully protesting. And yeah, especially with Melvin Gordon being from the Kenosha area, you can imagine how that hit him so hard. And yeah, I applaud it.
I was on the Ronnie K Show on Mile High Sports yesterday and was asked really the question. And it just goes back to this, Zach, you know, you and I have talked about this. I don't know what it's like to be in the shoes of black men and women in this country, right? But I've seen firsthand really what has happened and where we're at. And I tell you what, I worry every day about my friends that live in the community that I live in, that just walk around, because where I live is not a very, very great place. It's not a very supportive place. And I think everyone knows what that means when I say that. And the biggest thing for me is just hearing the stories of Kareem Jackson, what he's experienced, you know, being in Houston and then driving, getting pulled over. And then the first question being asked is, whose car is this? We have to do a better job just from a humanity standpoint of making sure that everybody is treated equally, because people say equality exists, but it's evident that people's viewpoints, the equality does not exist based on the viewpoints that we are seeing. I mean, if you look on any athlete social media page, you look at any sports page right now on Facebook or Twitter that is posting about what's going on, players protesting, it's ugly and it rears its really, really ugly head. And it's just very disheartening. It boils my blood. My mental health has been drastically impacted by this, but look, you know, I'm going to use my platform to promote change. And I hope that everyone can join along, because humanity, you know, it doesn't matter who is there. I think that humanity is super, super important. But Zach, let's get back to football here a little bit. Some rumors. The Broncos may be looking at bringing in a veteran guy. Mark Barron is going to be in town, essentially. He took his first COVID test. He's going to have to wait. He's going to have to take a second COVID test. Both come back negative. He'll be allowed to come to the team facility, team headquarters in Dove Valley, to be able to maybe essentially try out and meet with the team, meet with the executives. Do you really see this going anywhere? Because I went back and I watched film on Mark Barron, and to be honest with you, I talked with a couple of people that cover the Steelers, and he was one of the worst players defensively for them last year. I don't know, based on what I've seen on film, what I've heard from Steelers insiders and beat reporters, I just don't know if it'd be a great scheme fit for the Broncos, when I think that they could really go with some more in-house options.
Yeah, I think I'd honestly prefer them to go with in-house options as well. Just to make the argument for Mark Barron, I think what he does bring is kind of that lighter linebacker safety hybrid build that, you know, Justin Sternad would have brought to this defense. And, you know, I think it's going to be hard for them to replace with a guy like Josie Jewell, who is more of a downhill run stuffer than, you know, this guy you can drop back in coverage with his length, athleticism and whatnot. And Mark Barron can replace some of what Justin Sternad would bring to this defense. That said, I'd love to give Joe Jones a shot. Like, I'd rather do that than the Mark Barron experiment. But I think whoever they, you know, kind of used to replace Justin Sernad, whether that be Jones or Jewell or Barron, I don't think that's going to be a massive role. You know, I think it's going to be a few snaps per game, but this tells me they were really planning on using Sternad a lot this season. And it really sucks. We're not going to have him this year. So yeah, I guess they're just trying to replace that or those snaps in the defense. And I think Mark Barron, like you said, not a great option. He was probably arguably the worst starter on the Steelers defense last year, but that was one of the best defenses in the league in his defense, and he won't be starting for the Broncos. He'll be a back end rotational player. So I think you can bite that bullet, but I'd rather them use that cap space in other ways.
Especially considering the Broncos have young guys in Josh Watson. Look, Joe Jones back on a 1-year deal as well. A guy who just really contributes a lot on special teams. But I want to go back to that Ravens game, I believe, in 2018, where we got to see him really step up. And I mean, not only did he have a great game on special teams that game, he had to go play some inside backer. And he was actually very, very impressive. So we'll see what the Broncos decide to do. But Broncos country, coming up here in just a moment, Zach and I, we're going to discuss the stock report from Broncos camp. Which player stock is rising and which player stock is falling on this beautiful Friday all across Broncos country. But before we do that, I got to tell you guys about the sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. That's our good friends over there at Built Bar. And Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar out there. They have 18 amazing flavors that include nut and non-nut flavors, including caramel brownie, which is my new favorite, and cookies and cream. If you even like lemon almond cheesecake or even apple almond crisp, there is a new flavor for you. Or if you want to go with old reliable, like the peanut butter brownie or the toffee almond, or heck, even the peanut butter one, or even banana bread. I mean, they have so many different flavors, and the bars are covered in 100% chocolate. and they're soft and they're easy to chew. And if you are like me, I'm very conscious about what I put in my body. I'm a very healthy person. I like to work out a lot. I like to put good things into my body, but I also like treats. I like sweets, and Built Bar is my go-to. It helps you lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat because the bars, they are low calorie, they are low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. They're great for any diet that you are on right now to accommodate being able to have some sweets. So right now, listeners of Lockdown Broncos, you can get a free cooler with purchase only while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Broncos Country, talking with Zach Seegers here on today's episode, Lockdown Broncos, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, our good friends over there at Spotify. We have an episode for you every single day. Make sure you hit that follow or subscribe button. But in the meantime, Zach, let's talk about the stock report here in Broncos camp. And ideally, we're hoping to maybe see the players back on the football field here today, which means that there is a strong chance we could see Tim Patrick and Devontae Bosby return to practice. Todd Davis maybe can amplify things a little bit more. He was out for stretching the other day at practice. Ideally, when we look back from day one all the way to now, we got to look at the stock report. Which players, in your opinion, I mean, I think it's really evident whose stock has risen, but let's dive into a little bit deeper. Let's go with some of the obvious players and maybe talk about maybe one of the players that isn't so obvious that's had a quietly underrated training camp.
You know, I think it was underrated until recently with Fangio's comments in the last day or two. But I think Draymond Jones is kind of an under-the-radar, big stock up guy. You know, you're looking at Shelby Harris, who's been one of the stars defensively for the Broncos over the last 2 years, and Jarrell Casey, who's a perennial Pro Bowler. I think they're going to still hold on to those starting jobs. But Draymond Jones, I think, is still going to play somewhere, you know, in the 50% range in terms of snap counts. He's going to be on the field a ton, was one of the most productive pass rushers for the Broncos last season. Sounds like he's added some weight this offseason, and that's helped him a ton. He was such a good talent down the stretch for the Broncos, in those final few games when he saw more playing time. And I think you have him, Casey, Harris, all rotating in and out, all staying fresh. I think he's going to thrive in that role. So he's kind of my under-the-radar guy. And a guy that's kind of obvious, these guys are both kind of obvious and a little under the radar as well because they're not getting as much hype as some guys. But then my other one's Devontae Bosby. You know, I think he is a really – he's going to get that third cornerback job, and so far he's looking like he could thrive in it. So I'm really excited about that. And I think those two guys have improved their stock as much as anyone on this defense.
Well, talking about too Draymond Jones, he's obviously been somebody that Vic Fangio clamored about a little bit last week in a press conference, really saying that, you know, he's ahead of where he's supposed to be. And really he was thrust into that role, as you'd mentioned, due to injury. I mean, once Derek Wolfe dealt with that injury, we got to see a lot more of Draymond Jones, and he impressed there. Some other player that stock has risen, I'd say even from the defensive line position, is McTelvin Ajim has really just kind of risen up the stock a little bit. And what Vic Fangio says is really, you know, he's got to improve a little bit in every area every single day, but he is miles ahead of where he was at last year at college at Arkansas in terms of against the rushing defense. So his run defense has gotten better, according to Vic Fangio. That's something that you wanted to see. And Zach, you wrote on him at Pro Football Network, I believe it was a month and a half ago. And really, he does have all these pass rushing moves, and he is quick. But you did mention he's got to throttle down a little bit and he's got to get better against the run. And so far, early reports from camp indicate that.
Yeah, I think what you love with Ajim is his burst off the line is so special. I think what not many people know about him is he started off his college career as an edge rusher at Arkansas before moving in line and there, I mean, inside. And he's got a lot of those pass rushing moves. I mean, his strength, which I think is kind of rare for a defensive lineman, is similar to Von Miller, that ability to get that. And he's not on Von Miller's level. Miller is one of a kind in this regard. But that first step quickness off the line of scrimmage to just shoot their way into the backfield. He's great with a swim move to just, you know, shift his way between two linemen and blow a play up before it, really begins. But he needs to work on that, like you're saying. His strength and his anchor is the big thing. He is really quick and really twitched up, and you love to see all that. But I think his strength and his ability to anchor and that ability to take on blocks is where he struggles. You know, I think you can have a NASCAR package with him, Draymond Jones, Bradley Chubb, and Von Miller as your four linemen. In an obvious passing situation, a third and 17 or something, and I mean, you are set. Just like let him go, let him off at the quarterback. But I think his snap count is going to be limited this first year until, you know, he does bulk up. I think it's kind of like Draymond Jones last year, where Draymond Jones at Ohio State was an interior defensive lineman who had great interior pass rush, struggled a little bit in the run game. He needed to add that NFL weight. He needed to grow into his body a little bit. And I think we'll have McTelvin Ajim follow very much that Draymond Jones trajectory.
Shifting our talk to the offensive side of the ball, I mean, I think it's evident that when we talk about stock rising, Drew Lock, Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, Noah Fant, their stocks have obviously risen. They've been the key headline guys in training camp, but also two other players whose stocks have risen a little bit in training camp is Deshaun Hamilton and Tim Patrick. And really, I think it goes back to iron sharpens iron, Zach, when we really talked about it in depth, I think last week, is that the attention is so focused on Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, Noah Fant that other guys like Deshaun Hamilton and Tim Patrick who are having pretty strong camps, they're not being talked about as much, which I think could be a good thing because maybe other teams that are scouting there, for example, Tennessee, they may be scouting the headlines right now and trying to figure out what's going on with Denver, who may they be on the lookout for that could be in the starting rotation. And I think that Deshaun Hamilton is one of those guys and Tim Patrick that I do think are going to have major roles on this Broncos team here in 2020. And obviously with the status of KJ Hamler, his injury right now, working out the details of that, I think that those two players right there that I just mentioned are in a great place right now, considering that their stock definitely has risen so far in Broncos camp.
Yeah, I think that's been huge for them. And this is a receiving core that really does go five deep, you know, with those two guys, Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, and then KJ Hamler. And, you know, injuries are always a negative, but as far as Hamilton and Patrick are concerned, that Hamler injury, which is going to slow how quickly he can become a part of this Broncos offense, because he's not only missing games, he's missing these practices, which he so desperately needs in this offseason. I think he's going to be brought along slower. And so Hamilton and Patrick are going to prosper as a result of that. And you know, Patrick's a guy who's always looked like he's had this ability. But the problem is he had the broken hand last year. He's had some, you know, injury problems. He's had a hard time putting it all together. And I think this is the season we finally see that with Sutton and Jeudy and Fant and the running game taking so much attention away from him. And then you look at Deshaun Hamilton. If he can play the way he did once Drew Lock entered the lineup down the stretch last season, he played really, really well. I mean, when you extrapolate his numbers from the last quarter of the season, they are number two, number three starting wide receiver caliber numbers. So if he can continue that, and that's the big thing for him, he's been very inconsistent through the first 2 years of his career. If he can find that consistency, he'll be a big part of this Broncos defense. But my big stock up guy is another guy in that receiver room who I think is going to benefit from an added workload. That's Tyree Cleveland. I think he was a total afterthought when he was drafted the third wide receiver, their second to last draft pick overall. And I think he's going to instantly become a huge contributor on special teams. And I also think he's going to be a bigger factor on offense than we were expecting. What I saw at training camp the first time around really impressed me, and I'm going to have my eyes watching him closely this time around.
I think that's spot on too. You know, I think that's one thing that we've talked about, and special teams is so key. Tom McMahon said it earlier this week that, you know, a lot of guys that aren't starters, they're going to make their hay on special teams. And Cleveland's been one of those players just absolutely getting some raving reviews at Broncos camp. And Broncos country, Zach and I are going to continue our discussion. We're going to talk about the stock report in a sense of whose stock is falling at Broncos camp coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, I got to encourage you guys to check out Locked On Nuggets, hosted by Adam Matas and Matt Moore. They're bringing you the daily pick and roll action of the Denver Nuggets as they now look to figure out when game 6 will be hosted. It was originally scheduled for yesterday. It was postponed and it may be played today. It may be played tomorrow, but check out Locked On Nuggets with Adam Ottis. Can the Denver Nuggets storm back from a 3-1 deficit after a big game from Jamal Murray, where he scored 42 points and the Nuggets win in game 5? That's going to be a big, big question mark. You can get all the action on Locked On Nuggets. Talking with Zach Seegers here today on Lockdown Broncos on this beautiful Friday all across Broncos country. Once again, hope you guys are doing well. Hope you are all safe. We were just talking about this stock report in a sense of players whose stock was rising at Broncos camp. But Zach, I think this is not to be negative, but I think this is one of the areas we have to really just bring our analytical senses to and say, look, whose stock is falling at Broncos camp? I'm going to give the first one here. And, you know, can we really say that an undrafted rookie free agent, can we really say their stock is falling when there may not be much stock invested into those players? But so far, like I had hinted, like I had a hunch for when they brought him in, was Douglas Coleman III is not having a great camp for the Denver Broncos. And he's one of those players that's been on the highlight film, getting roasted a little bit. And it just seems like there is some hesitation from him, not only going back to his days at Texas Tech, but even just in Broncos practice from some of the clips that I've seen. It just doesn't seem like he likes to be around the football. And I mean, this could be totally off base, but if I'm going off of what I saw at Texas Tech, what I'm hearing from Broncos camp, you know, I just don't know if there's much of a role for him. You know, he's an undrafted guy. I don't necessarily know if the undrafted guys apply in this one.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really true. Like you said, it's hard. How much lower could Douglas Coleman's stock go? But however much lower it could go, it's gone that low. You know, he's at a really rough camp. He had a steep uphill climb to even make the final roster. And, you know, all these undrafted free agents, even a guy that was higher touted and we were a bigger fan of entering training camp, like in Isang Bassey, if they, or of Levante Bellamy, some of these bigger undrafted names, if they want to make the final roster, they're going to have like not just a good training camp. They need like an exceptional training camp. And Coleman's has been exceptionally bad. So he's, like you said, he's bottomed out. At this point, it would be pretty stunning if he made the final roster. He's at this point probably, unfortunately, a camp body, maybe a practice squad guy, but that even seems pretty unlikely at this point. So yeah, I think he's definitely one name. My big stock down guy, I'd have to say, is Melvin Gordon. You know, not that he's been all that awful at camp. I think he's looked average. He hasn't looked, in my opinion, like an $8-9 million running back. But more importantly, Phillip Lindsay looks great. He looks like he sorted out a lot of the receiving problems. He's tacked on some weight that should make him even more physical and help his power rushing ability even more. But that doesn't seem to have slowed him down at all. When I was at training camp the last time, and I'm going to be watching for this trend again today. But I mean, assuming they have practice. But one of the big trends I noticed was, when Phillip Lindsay carried the ball, it was very often a big play or, you know, one missed tackle or juke away from being a big play. And when Melvin Gordon got the ball, it was much more often to be that 5-6 yards, you know, or even shut down in the backfield. So I think Phillip Lindsay's kind of cemented that number one running back role in my eyes. Gordon's going to be the number two guy and still a large part of this offense, but he's going to fall in second. And then Freeman will be that third guy. But I think Gordon, and then you also have the injury that sidelined him for a few practices. I think he's the big stock down guy on the offense.
I'm going to go with an offensive lineman as well. You know, we've seen the rise of Austin Schlotman. He's had a really good training camp for the Broncos. Lloyd Cushenberry's getting up there now. Those two guys are mainly trading off the first team reps. Stock down, Patrick Morris on the offensive line. And this was, you know, for me, I was really advocating last season for Patrick Morris because of the fact that there was the Mike Munchak connection, and he's a developmental guy. And a majority of this offseason, when Drew Locke was doing those, you know, on-field local high school workouts, the center snapping the ball to him was Patrick Morris. So I felt like that was going to account for something into meaning something for him in the center battle. For obviously, he was going to start. I really think it's between Cushenberry and it's between Schlotman. I think Cushenberry's going to win it, obviously, because he's probably got the more prolonged future here in Denver in comparison. But yeah, you know, Patrick Morris hasn't had the best of camps. He hasn't seen a majority of those reps with the first team. He did have that play where there was going to be a penalty in a real game for how he hit and threw down McTelvin Ajeem. Ajeem left practice for a little bit with the trainers, came back in. But it was just one of those moments where maybe that's immaturity. Maybe that's a guy being too young, or maybe that's just a guy not being ready. That to me is where I really look at the offensive line. And I really can't pinpoint any other positions right now where stock is drastically falling. But in terms of overall line depth, I just don't think that Patrick Morris will probably be on this roster when roster cuts come our way here in the next week or so. So that's going to be something obviously to keep an eye on.
Yeah. And I think you hit the nail on the head. He's an under the radar guy not many people would think of, but you know, from March to today, I don't think anyone's had their stock drop more than Patrick Morris. You look at before the draft, he was going to be the Broncos starting center, at least slotted to be. Now with the benefit of hindsight, maybe he would have lost that competition to Schlotman, assuming they don't get Cushenberry in there, and would have been the secondary guy, but still would have been competing for a starting job. And then the moment they drafted Cushenberry, that kind of went out of the question. And with this disappointing camp performance, he's gone from being, you know, having a good chance of starting week one to probably not being on the roster in week one. So that's a huge decline right there. One more guy I think is, you know, a needle down. guy is Devontae Harris. Kind of for the same reason Devontae Bowsby's an up. Devontae Bowsby's been great. I think Isaac Yadams even had some moments. And Devontae Harris, kind of like Douglas Coleman, has ended up on the ugly side of some of those offensive highlights. I think he will still be rotated in and still see some cornerback snaps this season. But the difference between cornerback six and cornerback three in that locker room, you know, with Duke Dawson, Devontae Bowsby, Isaac Yadam, Devontae Harris, it's a really narrow gap there. And I think based on training camp, you could argue that Devontae Harris is now probably cornerback six, and he's a dang good cornerback six. But you know, you're not going to see the field much when you're that far down the depth chart. So I think he's a big stock down guy as well.
And we're obviously going to find out when the Broncos release their first initial depth chart. I mean, as the season approaches, I imagine it's going to be probably in the next week and a half. So, you know, Broncos country, keep an eye on that. I think Bosby's going to emerge as the guy there, as you had said, Zach, but absolutely, you know. So what are your thoughts on the Broncos stock report? Broncos country, whose stock is rising? Whose stock is falling? Tweet us at Cody Rourke NFL, at Zach_Seegers, at Lockdown Broncos. We look forward to hearing your responses on today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. But with that said, that'll do it for today's episode of the show, ladies and gentlemen. Just want to wish you a very, very happy weekend. Enjoy your time. We will be back on Monday for a brand new episode of the show. More Broncos camp news and notes as we inch one step closer to Broncos football.